Speaker 1.
Childhood in the Middle Ages. From a young age, children who grew up in the Middle Ages were expected to help out at home with various tasks depending on their age and development. They would look after animals and siblings, fetch and carry, cook, and even help out in the family business. Children back then were involved in all aspects of family life. As now, children were susceptible to accidents in the home, drowning or being hurt by animals as they played and explored. Both parents and teachers were allowed to beat children to correct their behaviour. Noble boys were often fostered in other households. Boys as young as 7 began training for knighthood with wooden swords, bows and small horses or ponies, learning by doing and by watching the knights with whom they lived. They also learned to read and sometimes write in both their native tongues and in Latin. Girls were taught from girlhood how to run a household. This meant understanding everything from budgeting to making clothes by hand to throwing a feast for hundreds. Despite possible accidents or cruel masters, household chores and a time away from home, childhood in the Middle Ages was not grim all the time. Children played ball games and sports, as well as what we'd now call board games like backgammon and chess. They say it takes a village to raise a child, and the medieval community was committed to caring for its children, with the church, local lords, or godparents stepping in to help out when needed, and to care for orphans. Even with all this care and support, just as now, not every child had an idyllic upbringing. Still, just as now, medieval childhood was full of fun and games, learning and exploring, trial and error, tears and laughter.
Speaker 2.
A Victorian childhood. While the wealthy children had a much better life than the poor children, they also had what would seem to be a sad, often boring existence, lacking in affection and praise. Wealthy Victorian children rarely communicated with their parents, except during a specified time each day. Parents would hire a nanny to do most of the child rearing and instruct her what they wanted to have taught to their children, such as good manners, education, how to dress, whatever was proper and what was not, and so on. The nanny was in fact a substitute parent. A nanny in Victorian times would hardly ever be a cheerful, loving young lady. Much of the time they were intolerant, strict, and sometimes plain mean. Yet there were some nannies who were kind and caring and supplied the only love a child would experience. They would do the extra things to brighten a child's life, such as playing games with them or preparing special meals on their birthday. Poor children didn't have the extravagant toys, clothes, or fine foods that the rich ones had. They lived in much smaller houses or even shifting single rooms. Without the presence of a nanny, the parents raised the children and were the guiding force in their lives. This did not always provide for a more loving atmosphere, though. A large proportion of poor Victorian children had to work to help support their families. Working conditions were dreadful. Children working in factories worked long hours, 14 to 18 hours a day on average, and safety was not a major concern. Children's small size made them ideal for crawling into tight spaces in, around, or under machines, sometimes even while the machines were still running, since it would hinder production if a machine were turned off. Kids were expected to work in filthy conditions. 5 to 9-year-old chimney sweeps would often be covered from head to toe with soot, their arms and knees bleeding, only to be washed off with salt water and sent up another chimney. They really had no choice in the matter. As they were considered cheap labour, Victorian children were in high demand for jobs, including factory work, farming, textile mills, and, sadly, prostitution. As you may have already noticed, many parents thought of children as a source of additional income, and having several working children who raised the income of the home. Many parents had 10 or 12 or even more children for this reason alone. Even street children in Victorian times were found in abundance living in alleys or side streets. Many were orphans or from neglectful, alcoholic families, where abuse was nothing out of the ordinary. Faced with the choice of living in these conditions or living on the street, some children chose the street. Many of these children fell prey to prostitution and thieving to support themselves.
Speaker 3.
One child's experience of the Blitz.
My name is Jim. I was born in January 1934, one of a family of 13 children, all born between 1923 and 1945. At my infant school in Tottenham, North London, one morning at assembly, our headmaster, Mr. Crabbe, informed us that London might become a target for the Luftwaffe, the German Air Force. However, everything remained comparatively quiet for the next few weeks. Then, one day, we were all sitting at our desks in the classroom, the air raid warning siren began to wail. We had heard it before, when practicing in the event of an air raid, yet this was for real. After approximately half an hour, we heard the sound of the all clear. We had been lucky. Nevertheless, that raid had made me feel really frightened. The same night, we were all indoors listening to a speech by Adolf Hitler, who they called the Führer. On the radio, when the air raid warning sounded anew, and we heard the dreaded drone of the German planes again, it was now about 10 p.m. and we all hurried out into the back garden into an air raid shelter made of corrugated iron. Everybody had had them delivered months before, but we never really expected to have to use them. I will never forget the noise of those German planes and the deafening whistle as the bombs screamed earthwards, followed by massive explosions in the distance. This night raid was extremely frightening for me because I hated the dark, and we could not have any form of light on for safety reasons. It was pitch black, cold and wet in our shelter. Then, all of a sudden, there was a massive explosion which sounded very near. The sky lit up with an orange-red glow as the buildings and factories went up in flames. Next time, our parents got us down into the nearest underground station, as it was safer there. I will always remember. People of all ages, all backgrounds, all joined in singing along with a man playing a little accordion. I recall lying awake all night, wondering if a bomb was going to fall and bury us all alive. That was my biggest fear down the underground. This went on night after night. Over the following weeks, all of our family, as well as many others, were evacuated and scattered all over the country. I am glad to say we all finished up safe and sound, staying with families in the countryside. In late 1944, just before the war ended, we returned to London. A bomb had hit our area in Tottenham. As I looked around the site, I was glad we had been evacuated from the worst of the Blitz. Although our house had been severely damaged by the bomb blast, ours was a happy end story. For, after all, imagine, we had all survived, all 15 of us.